KBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The hunt for an escaped inmate in Arkansas goes on. Grant Hardin is a former police chief, but he's also a convicted killer and rapist. And police say he broke out of prison last week by donning a fake law enforcement uniform. Eight down, two to go. The remaining fugitives who escaped from a New Orleans jail are still eluding police. ABC's Jim Ryan with more on who they are.
Derrick Groves was being held at the Orleans Parish Prison after he was convicted late last year in a double homicide on Mardi Gras 2018. Fellow escapee Antoine Massey is no stranger to jailbreaks, having fled custody several times since 2007. Police on Tuesday were following up on an unconfirmed sighting of Massey in Natchez, Mississippi.
Also out of jail, possibly as soon as today, Todd and Julie Chrisley, the reality TV stars who defrauded banks out of more than $30 million. President Trump saying he will pardon them. Trump administration moving to cut off all remaining federal funding to Harvard. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. If you need credentialing and licensing from the state, you may see a delay this year. The Department of Safety and Professional Services warns delays will happen if a couple dozen temporary positions expire as expected later this year. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers included funding for 24 permanent positions to replace those temporary positions in his biennial budget proposal, which has already been gutted by the state Republicans. DSPS officials say that without those additional positions, Wisconsinites who need state licenses or credentials to start a new job could end up waiting even longer to receive them. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say the proposed cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, could cost residents as much as $314 million every year. The cuts were included in the budget bill passed by the House of Representatives last week and will now head to the United States Senate for consideration. A DHS report estimated that around 90,000 residents could lose their current SNAP benefits under the cuts. The cuts would force the state to pay a portion of the program costs based on its payment error rate. Following a statewide tour highlighting his administration's accomplishments in workforce development, Governor Tony Evers has renewed calls for support from the state legislature. Republican state lawmakers removed over 600 measures from the governor's proposed budget, including investments in apprenticeship programs, the Worker Connection Pilot Program, and the Workforce Innovation Grant Program. During the tour, Governor Evers also highlighted a lawsuit against the Trump administration seeking to stop cuts to AmeriCorps. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
A Brewers win over Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Red Sox wrapping up their series today in Milwaukee. Last night, Christian Yelich hit a walk-off grand slam in the 10th to lead the Brewers to a 5-1 win over Boston. The inning before, Yelich scored the tying run from third. Manager Pat Murphy.
We've all seen that. I've been here with Yelly as long as I have. We've all seen that base hit out of him, that double, and then his base running to get you to third. That's why he's a great player.
NFL, the Packers OTAs continuing today without Packers defensive back Jair Alexander. A report says the Packers will take him back if he takes a pay cut. Jair's agent says he wants to stay in Green Bay, but not with a restructured deal. In golf, the U.S. Women's Open tees off tomorrow in Wisconsin. Nellie Korda on what it's like to compete at Erin Hills.
It tests every part of your game. It's very demanding. Even if you think you've hit it good, you just exhale when you see it stop.
That's golfer Nellie Korda with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy with scattered showers today. We'll get to the mid to upper 60s for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 58.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk movies and about the box office with Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller. Then Dennis Graham, founder of Rockconson, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios, this is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Very special guest, Andy Zaleski here for the Dean Opitschka Memorial Softball Tournament, 15th annual. Coming up at the Casco Village Park, Church Avenue in Casco, rain or shine, starting on May 29th, which is tomorrow, through June 1st. Let's talk a little bit one more time, if you don't mind, Annie, about your nephew here, Dean Opitschka, who was killed in action in Iraq, and just about the kind of guy, and again, God bless his Marine experience and everything he did to have the courage to do that, but talk again about the Dean Opitschka that you knew before he joined the Marines, and what a caring human being he was.
He really was. And it's kind of cliche to talk about someone that way, right, after they're gone, but not in this case. I mean, you didn't know Dean without loving him is what it boils down to. He was a good kid. He always, he was inclusive. He always wanted to include everyone. Even we used to have parties at our house where they'd be playing croquet in the backyard and there'd be, you know, a young girl standing off to the side that he didn't even know because there were so many different, you know, right, families there. And he would invite them to play. And that just epitomizes the kind of guy that he was. He was well known throughout the county because he was, you know, quite the athlete.
Wasn't it quarterback, point guard, started baseball
pitcher,
player?
Yes, but he was also very musically inclined. Was starred in most of the musicals.
Wow.
At LC. He was part of the Boys. They started an a cappella group.
Wow.
And we have some recordings from that I will treasure forever.
Wow.
He started his own, he taught himself how to play guitar and he started his own band after he left high school. And so he was well known throughout the county. That's why the scholarships, you know, go throughout the entire county. Like I said, if you knew him, you loved him.
And the Marines was a big part of his life, but talk about he took all his talents and became an educator.
He did. He got a full ride. He was a scholar too, on top of everything else.
Right.
He got a full ride to Carroll. Now University, Carroll College back mm-hmm. then. And he got his undergraduate degrees, and then he decided he wanted to take the teaching path. So he got his certificate, and his first job was teaching at a school for disadvantaged kids in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
He took this ragtag group of kids, and he made a basketball team out of them. They played in shorts and T-shirts because there was no money at that school for uniforms, but he served as their first coach. And
quite the lives he affected, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, those kids, you know, I think that's great. He did that. I mean,
For his wake, they brought, I don't remember, it was 3 or 4 busloads of kids from that school came to his wake, and they have since, their snack room at their school, they have named it Mr. O's snack room.
So this is great. So you took this tragedy, turned it into a fundraiser, baseball tournament, which people love in this neck of the woods. Tell me where some of the money goes. And it's 15 years. You must have done some great things over those years.
Yeah, it's funny you should ask. It's almost like I cued you. Because last night I sat there going through Because I give opening remarks when we do our military service on Thursday night. And so I'm going to give away some of my thunder here. But, I mean, we've given out almost 50 scholarships.
Wow.
And, you know, we couldn't start right away the first year because we were, you know, we were just getting started. So I think that's since 2011. I think we've been giving out scholarships. We have given to, I'm also the secretary on the board. So I have every single donation that we've made is recorded in the minutes. So I went back through 12 years of minutes and I found that we've donated to almost 150 individuals, 16 of those being veterans. And when you include all of the separate charitable contributions that we've made, I mean, we're talking everything from, you know, local, like Bremer Park in Kewaunee for their all-inclusive playground, to things like Toys for Tots, Shop with a Cop, the food pantries. I mean, you name it. If it's a worthy cause and we
all
vet it out.
All things that he would be a part of.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what, how, that's our thinking, John. Yeah. Exactly. But that totals almost 200 individual. So, yeah, we do, you know, if our funds are running low in any given year, it's like we try to keep them as local as we can. But we've given to people outside the area, too, and we see that it's a very good cause.
No, that's great. I mean, that's what makes this world go around, is it? A lot of these nonprofits that, and none of you take a penny. You know, it's I've been there. I've seen you guys all working. You've got family. And then, of course, the community steps up in a big time,
absolutely.
Too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's talk about some of the things that people can do. Yeah. It's more than just watching baseball.
I mean, softball.
Softball. Sorry, John.
Trust me, baseball players and softball players, they know that
they're going to duke it out. We've got raffles going all 4 days. We've got bucket raffles where you can, you know, buy your tickets and choose what you want to put your ticket in for.
We should talk about some of the raffle items you get.
Yeah, they're great.
Those are unbelievable. Some of the stuff's handmade. You know, we talked about the cornhole boards.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of very interesting, neat things that I just love.
People really step up with, like you said, some very interesting items. We get handmade quilts. We get people putting baskets together for us so that, you know, we don't have quite as much to do in that respect. But
because that gets to be a grind.
Yeah, we spent about 3 hours last Tuesday.
I remember one time whole living room for a golf tournament I put on, my whole living room floor was covered in stuff.
My dining room was full until I took it to, we call it basket making night. But anywhere, we usually have like, I don't know, 60. We get gorgeous, gorgeous plants. Good friend of mine puts together a pot that is absolutely beautiful. If you're a flower person, you're going to put a lot of money in that one.
You know, another thing here, just reading, okay, it starts off the military ceremony tomorrow night at 6:15.
Yes.
Raffles all weekend, need not be present to win.
Correct.
Raffle drawings begin Sunday at 3. First prize, $1,000 donated by you and your husband. Wow. Second prize, $500 donated by Scotty's. Third prize, 70-inch smart TV. Again, donated by all the brothers in the family.
Mom and dad and, brothers.
$350 Better Life Kewaunee. Fifth prize, $300. Another local, I mean, on and on and on and on. And what I'm trying to get across here, this isn't like, okay, God bless the Schreiber Foods or the, you know, of the world. These are all individual people
that
are donating for this.
Yep.
Which I think is really cool.
Yep, exactly. We get, our treasurer can go to the P.O. box and pull out a check for $25. That's, you know, that's what makes this work.
Right. Yeah. It does. And Sunday, booyah, 10 o'clock until it's all got home.
I'm telling you.
It doesn't say booyah at 10 o'clock while supply lasts. It says 10 o'clock till gone.
Till gone.
Till gone, yeah.
Which could be 11 o'clock.
It's the best booyah around, guys.
I can imagine.
In my opinion, I got to give them a shout out, Tina Lulu and Deb Prebeck.
Okay. Right.
Oh, God, they make the best booyah around.
Do they sell it to go at all?
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, most of the time, they even have containers.
Okay.
You don't even need to bring your own.
Awesome.
And just good local food. You know, you got the brats, the burgers, the tripe.
It's all locally procured.
Explain trip.
Well, I went out first just of all, to try to get that. As I said, it's disgusting. But we buy it because there's a ton of people that love it. It's actually sauerkraut within the brat. Yeah. And you can taste it and you can smell it.
you don't have McTunkie, do you?
We do not have. I mean, I think there were a couple years where people donated, for our raffle. That happens all the time, and like for our church picnics and stuff. That I mean, those buckets are full of tickets. Everybody wants McTunkie. Usually we don't have it. Again, thank God, because you can smell that stuff.
Oh, man. They bring it to me every year in Kewaunee at the high school football games. That press box smells like McTunkie. Yeah. You'd have to know what McTunkie smells like. But let me tell you something else. Not to do. Leave it in your truck in the back seat for like a weekend. You don't use your truck, and you had the windows rolled up on a hot day.
All it takes is a day. I had bought some to take to a good friend of mine who is German and Bohemian, and she had never had it. She wanted to try it. I had it in my car for a day.
Yep.
I couldn't even take it out and put it in the garage. I had to put it in an outbuilding because it smelled so bad.
Sauerkraut does it. Yeah, it gets it going. The whole thing is great. The whole event, everything you do. You're the announcer. It's great to watch the softball. But
that's what I mean. You do everything. They do,
but no pets allowed. Remember, I brought my dog last year, and you guys are like, "Hey, you can have your dog in here."
Yeah, so,
he tried saying Milton was a service dog, and they looked at Milton like, "Yeah, nice try, sir."
I did not. I got to go food. That food was really good. I mean, I talked to you for a little while, watched the game, but maybe it's okay watching the game. But I understand that in the food tent, you can't have that.
It's not our rule.
No,
I know. It's the village rule. Yeah. So we have to abide by it.
It was great.
So sorry.
No.
Well, once again, the 15th annual Dino Pitschka softball tournament. And I just want to talk one more time about, you know what always gets me choked up a little bit too, when I see his grave there, like when he was born. I was in college. He could have been my son. I mean, seriously, you know what I mean?
That age,
these young kids that are getting killed over there. But your area was hit hard.
Yes.
Right around that time. Can you talk about that? I mean, I've never seen an area in Wisconsin, other than maybe Milwaukee, someplace where there were more people, but for the population in your area, you guys really paid the price, didn't you?
There were three guys they all went to LC High School. Ryan Zimmerman, Jesse Theory, and then Dean was the last. But, you know, I think Dean's wake could have gone on for days.
Yeah.
There were so many people that showed up. When we met him, when they brought him back through Austin Straubel, and we drove back all the way to Casco, to the funeral home in Casco, the 54 even, not just the streets of Luxembourg, Highway 54 was lined with people waving flags, signs saying, you know, never forget. And we don't forget that either. We cherish the community. We're so grateful to them for all the support that they've given, not only our family, but to the tournament as well.
I mean, the Theories were a really great friend of mine, Randy and the whole bunch.
Yeah, I know him a little. Yep.
Yeah. And the Jerbecks were great friends of mine. Isaiah Hunt, his dad, was a great friend of mine, played for the Packers. It really got on a personal level. That war was brought to Northeast Wisconsin, wasn't it?
It was. It really was. You know, for a while, you kind of hated to turn on the news because you thought there was going to be, you know, breaking news with another service member.
Yeah. Well, God bless you, Annie, and what you do and what your family does for this. You want to talk about coming right from the heart. It's what you guys do. Annie Zalewski, Dean Opitschka Memorial Softball Tournament starting tomorrow night at Casco Village Park, rain or shine. And you'll be doing the opening ceremonies at what time?
6:15.
6:15.
The directions, because I got lost, but Village, it's very easy to find.
It is very easy to find. Come down 54 out of Green Bay and take a right on Church Avenue.
There it is.
And then you'll, right after the church, you'll hear the noise.
I can't miss it. So.
But I want to thank you guys for this opportunity
to
talk about
Dean. We love
what
you're doing.
And like I said it before, labor of love for all of us.
Whatever we can do for you, and I want to thank you for an incredible speech you gave that day at UW Green Bay. I had somebody stop me after an event I did Sunday to talk about it. You made an impact.
Thank you.
Because everything you do is from the heart.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you so much.
We do it for Dean.
Much.
Yeah.
Damn right.
Great.
We'll keep doing it for Dean.
We will.
All right. Mind on the Mayor back after this.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
Your Pella experience starts with a free in-home consultation.
It was a really comfortable kitchen table chat. We knew Pella was going to get it right the first time, and they designed a project with us. They didn't just replace our windows and doors.
There are so many options that are available, so it was nice to have someone narrow those down, and they made sure that the design was what we wanted.
Don't wait. Get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply. It's 531-2025.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Insight Eye Care has been serving the Fox Valley for over 30 years and are proud sponsors of Mino and the Mayor's Eye on the Community. Insight offers comprehensive eye care, including glasses and contact lenses. Their doctors have a special interest in treating chronic eye disease, specialty contact lenses, and pediatric care. Find Insight on Sawyer Street in Oshkosh and Chain Drive in Appleton. Visit WIinsight.com to schedule your eye exam. Improving lives by improving sight. Insight Eye Care.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
John Fogerty on his 80th birthday. We're talking baseball last night. Christian Yelich, an unbelievable walk-off grand slam. Brewers back in action here on WISS 11:35 today, taking on the Red Sox once again. And, of course, starting tomorrow, the Dino Pitchka Memorial Softball Tournament in the town of Casco. So great selection there, Todd. Now we're talking about something else we like to, don't shouldn't say like to talk about, but something we totally support, and that is the fight against Alzheimer's. We're with Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Sutherland to talk about the fight, the battle, and some things I saw in the news fairly recently about some potential breakthroughs as far as like a real early diagnosis and things like that. So first of all, doctor and my friend, good morning. I haven't seen you. I saw you just a couple of months ago. How you been?
Good morning.
Good to see
Doing
you.
Good.
Good. Go ahead and talk about where we're at with this and your passion for this and how we can all help in any way.
Yeah, well, I guess I just wanted to start off by thank you for the supporting the Alzheimer's Association. You guys have done a lot. You came out to an event that I hosted a while back, so it's good seeing you again.
And I'll tell you, Doc, that you write in here how people, you know, it's over 7 million people now. I mean, and it's growing, which is a little bit of a concern, but maybe it's just being diagnosed better. We'll get to that, but Johnny and I both have lost loved ones to that.
It's personal.
Right. My sister, you know,
my sister-in-law, who is unbelievably close to.
Right, his mom. So, and I,
whose grandson is graduating today, who was the joy of her life.
Right.
How great it would have been for her to be. Yeah, right. Just so it's personal.
It's real. There's a lot of need out there for a lot of things. But,
when you see some of those numbers that come out, you know, I think that it's sometimes hard to wrap your head around those numbers. But I was thinking on my way in this morning about right here in Wisconsin, the number of people that are living with Alzheimer's. You could fill up Lambeau and where the Bucks play and still have need to find a place for 10,000 people, right? So there's
isn't that something?
Over 100,000 people in this state who are living, and you think about then their extended, you know, their families, their kids, their grandkids, all the people that are affected is really enormous. And we're, And unfortunately, I think we're going to see more, you know, a population is aging. And so I think we're on the cusp of seeing more, unfortunately. So your comments about early diagnosis and treatment is really critical.
So how are we doing? I mean, this wasn't the biggest thing 20 years ago. I don't remember it.
We'd never heard of it growing up or anything that. Right.
And again, I was talking to the med students about this when I graduated from medical school. So again, this was a couple of decades ago, I guess. But it wasn't in the top 10 for causes of death, right? So now it's, you know, sixth or so, somewhere in there, right?
Why?
So, well, I think that's a great question. I mean, I think there's probably, we're going to find out, I think that's a lot of factors, you know, that's... There are potentially environmental exposures. There are, you know, we're more sedentary, obesity. There's just a lot of different things that are put people at risk. Social isolation. You know, there's a lot of different things that may be driving that.
Well, okay, let me just say this. I'm not trying to sound like a smart butt here or anything, but that's good because those are things we can somewhat control, our obesity and our moving around and getting away from certain things, right?
Absolutely. We know what some of the modifiable
behavior. And I've never heard that before, did you? Yeah.
What, double shit exercise, John? I think I've heard that before.
Pay no attention to him. Yeah. Pay no attention
No,
to
I
him.
Think it's a multiple things, like you said. And I want to stay with Alzheimer's, but they've done a lot of studies on loneliness and what a killer that is. And I think that fits into what you were just talking about.
Oh,
isolation.
Absolutely. It's one of the risk factors. Right. You know, and I think for a lot of people, you know, they retire and then all of a sudden they're not challenged and they become isolated. And so there's a lot of, there are, I mean, one of my interests, one of the things I really like to talk about is prevention. What can we do to modify some of those risk factors, right? To try to be on the front end of prevention. And then the treatment piece is really going to be increasingly important. Early detection, early awareness, talking about what happens early on. Because a lot of the therapies are going to be critical in the early part of the disease.
Right. Rob, this is a passion for you as well.
It's a serious passion.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
And I can confirm the medical community has come a long way. My wife actually was diagnosed in 2012, early onset. She started showing signs at the time we knew not what the heck's going on when she was 52 years old.
I remember we talked about it one time.
Yeah. And at that time, 2012, really very little funding was taking place to help people with Alzheimer's research and so forth. And very little progress was being made in the medical community. But over the last few years, clearly we've taken some big steps in diagnosis and prevention, talking about things we can do differently to help lower the risk factor, and then also some drugs, I guess, that can, if detected early enough, can actually
slow down
the progression. Mm-hmm. But they are making progress, and that is wonderful news to anybody affected by this disease. And that's really is what is so exciting, is that there are novel approaches where they're expanding. The pipeline is becoming more diverse in terms of the types of drugs that are in there. And so I think it's that's exciting to see.
How early can it be detected? I mean, can it be detected before people are showing, like for yourself, you had to be thinking, because I remember with my sister-in-law, it was just really little things. She was brilliant. She was an RN. She taught in colleges, and she was brilliant. Yep. And she would do things that just weren't her. Nothing major, not like, you know, getting one, but just.
Yep. In my case, in Rhonda's case, she just noticed her asking the same questions over and over again, saying the same thing over and over again, doing things like not answering the phone, not being able to write down messages, not being able to tell me what time it was, things that never dawned on me could be the beginning of Alzheimer's. But I know there are now tests now I believe you can take.
Yeah, I think that's still early. I mean, I think there will be, I think, a blood, you know, blood test at some point. And
that's what I was reading about. The next step they're trying to get.
Right, and imaging, trying to get to the point where hopefully you can start to find some of that underlying pathology before some of these later manifestations become clinical.
We got to send her a quick break. Dr. David Ferguson, Rob Sutherland, talk about Alzheimer's and that war against that insidious disease. Let's keep fighting it. Stick around, gentlemen. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Federal funding cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It threatens not only families, but also farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. One of the farms waiting for final answer is Flagg Family Farm in Rudolph. Carl Flagg is the operator, and he says not only do families depend on SNAP for some additional dollars to spend towards their meals, farmers depend on SNAP to keep clients coming their way.
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, it's put thousands and thousands of dollars into the farmers markets here in Dane County and back home in Wausau and Stevens Point. So, yeah, it's a very important program. I just spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., campaigning with Farmers Union. It's very important what we stress to the politicians is that in the Farm Bill, we need a strong nutrition program.
Carl Flagler from Flagler Family Farm in Rudolph says it's not just about the SNAP dollars helping families to fulfill their meal goals. It's also about making sure those families can afford some of the beneficial food that farmers like him bring to a farmer's market. He says that's something they might not otherwise be able to afford.
Loss of appetite, drop in milk production, and dehydration are all key indicators of HPAI, or bird flu. This disease is a threat to cattle health and farmers' bottom line. Help protect your herd and reduce the spread by keeping animals hydrated and eating with BioVet. Bovine Gold Light provides key electrolytes for livestock, and our direct-fed microbial products support digestive health and appetite. Learn more at bile-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Attention farmers and ranchers. The Can-Am Ag and Business Program wants to reward hardworking folks like you. Head to your local Can-Am dealer to find out how you can get extra coverage on top of the current offers on select Can-Am Defender and Outlander models. If you've had your eye on a new Can-Am ATV or side-by-side, now's the time to get yours. Visit your local Can-Am dealer today and add a true game changer to your roster. Conditions apply. See dealer for details.
And so far, weather's been cooperating pretty well with Wisconsin farmers. The latest update shows across the state, 85% of the corn's already in the ground, and about 52% of that corn has already emerged. Corn rating from farmers, about 62% called good to excellent. 80% of our soybeans have been planted. Right now, that crop, about 42% emerged. 88% of our potato planting is already complete, and it looks like first cutting of alfalfa, about 20% done as of Sunday. That's just a quick snapshot on food news for a Wednesday. More at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at FishOnMarinette.com.
Cloudy with scattered showers today. We'll get to the mid to upper 60s for a high this afternoon. The wind will be northeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, 52. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 75 on Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Teach Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin, and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Teach Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
From local stories to local voices, we're shining a spotlight on what matters right here in Northeast Wisconsin. It's more than just talk. It's about connecting with the community. This is Mino and the Mayor. Now, here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Southern here discussing Alzheimer's and discussing Mohs surgery in between here. But this is one of those things, we're talking about Alzheimer's, and we've got Carrie who does such a great job. Awareness, 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 awareness is so important. Wouldn't you guys agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. That we spread the word. That's how we let people know in the community what's going on. People need to be aware of what Alzheimer's is. It affects, as we talked about earlier, thousands of people in the state of Wisconsin. And we need to get word out.
And with your wife, 52, that's young.
My passion is early onset because when Rhonda was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, she was 56, maybe, and the actual diagnosis came. What a shock. I had never heard of it.
That's got to be difficult. You said look for some signs, and you mentioned a few. Yes. To get the next step, you should go in and get tested. I mean, there's got to be some pushback. Well, it's like, come on, you're overreacting. And I want to just follow up on that one comment, Mom. My sister who died of that, there were some people who would say some things, and actually, I'm not kidding you. My wife is the one who diagnosed it. We went, and she goes, Jim, something's wrong with your sister. And then it took, you know, a lot of pressure to get her to go and get a test.
My sister kind of did the exact same thing. So, okay, that's unusual for you to be doing this.
But they're like, just a bad day. So talk to me. How did you get your wife?
Of course. Well, there was a lot of resistance. She, Rhonda's, she went south fast, I guess is the best way to put it. And she would have no part of wanting to go in and see a doctor or a neurologist. A couple things happened at the house that it was just evident. This isn't right, Rhonda. We got to do something. And she finally agreed with me. They went in and did that cognitive test the first time where they ask you to put the hands on the clock and things like that. And she did poorly. Then we went in about 6 months later and she did even worse. And at that point, they diagnosed early onset. And from that point forward, we did things like clinical trials, which everybody can do to help just help the Alzheimer's community take part in a clinical trial. If you'd like, we did that with Rhonda. I think there might be a drug that would help her. Nothing really did help at that time. But it's
not easy.
Were
you her caretaker?
I was her caretaker. And fortunately, I had friends and family that realized I was struggling, and they offered help. That doesn't happen all the time in the community. People don't know.
Because even Jay Leno's talking about that right now. Yep. He's kind of taking care. He's a caretaker for his wife, I believe.
Yep. Very, very difficult, very stressful. And that's part of what the Alzheimer's Association does, is raise funds, not only for research, but to help caregivers get respite, catch their breath a little bit.
That is so important. I don't think people see that. And spend 5 days in a row with someone. I mean, you're going to want that 2 days off as well. But they don't.
Well, we had the former governor on here one day.
Tony Earl.
I was just going to mention Governor Schreiber talks about how the circle can shrink. You know, how friends, neighbors can withdraw. They're not quite sure how to deal with this. Individuals get embarrassed. They don't want to go out. They quit doing the things that they would normally do to help them stay connected.
Well, you know what I found, though, with my sister-in-law when I went down to visit her, is that she could be totally the regular her 1 minute. Like, we were talking about the old basketball games, and she was a cheerleader, and it was just like any of us having a conversation right now. And then a minute later, completely different. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that mentally as the caretaker, and I certainly wasn't the caretaker, but I just thought, my goodness, you're going to deal with this every day, and you got to be careful what you say, that I found, because some things seem to she understood completely. Yep. You know what I mean?
Some things,
you guys don't know what I mean, right?
Very bizarre behavior. And the other just bit of advice, do not argue with somebody that has Alzheimer's.
I should say, Mr. Southern, you're not going to win. These repetitive questions, I'm just not good at taking that. It's like, you just asked me that too. You know what I mean? Like, you really got to be a special person to be a caretaker. We don't all have the deep pockets like Jay Leno. I mean, it can be expensive to get it in, so you have to have
ultimately
friends.
You have to understand it's not about you, it's about he or she, your partner.
You really do have to start changing the way you think about this, because their reality, I think that's what's so great about
Governor Schreiber's message is that their reality is not yours. Mm-hmm. And so trying to be rational, trying to have a rational conversation often doesn't work.
Right.
The emotional piece is still there. So it's really important to be able to, you know, say things with a smile. They pick up, you know, people pick up on the emotional cues, right. But I have that kind of thing, not to correct, not to argue, or not to, you know, to challenge. And I was tired at the end of the day with one of the individuals I help. I had a long day and I kind of broke that rule. And it went south really quick, as you use that expression. Yeah. And I had to apologize. I had to kind of recover in that situation. And it's tough.
I should say, I went through the exact same thing. I drove by her son, is my godchild. He's getting married. Went to the wedding. I walked in there. She goes, "What are you doing here?" I was like, "Yeah." And you kind of get like mad. You drove. You took the day off. But you know what I mean? You just really have to. I think it's important that people go through a little training.
Oh, and I think that's a great thing about the Alzheimer's Association. There's educational, all sorts of education pieces on communication, how to change the way you communicate with someone.
Important for someone that's going to be a caretaker, has a loved one with that. I think that is incredibly important.
It's train, and you know, it's really. Again, learning and retraining yourself to communicate in a different way and get as much as you can about how to deal with some of those difficult behaviors to avoid burnout in yourself and also just to improve communication.
But they do still feel certain things in regards to like, okay, with my sister-in-law and my brother and I, we're going to leave to go for dinner over some friends of his, okay? And she goes, "Well, why aren't I coming? Of course I'm going to come." See, she was totally lucid.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And at that point, it just breaks your heart because you forget which person you're dealing with.
Yep.
And how'd you deal with that?
Well, you just take it. Honestly, it's a cliche, but a step at a time.
Yeah.
I can, like, in Rhonda, one of the most difficult things I dealt with, Rhonda, she lost her ability to speak. What's the word? Really easy, early. She couldn't communicate. You could tell maybe what she was thinking by the tone of her voice. But there were times also when I had her in memory care and I'd go to visit and she'd be crying uncontrollably, just couldn't stop crying. And I didn't know what it was. The people at the memory care facility would help her. She wouldn't take help from me. But all I could think of was maybe she just had a flash of reality. Mm-hmm. Maybe something all of a sudden.
And she realized the situation she's in.
Oh my goodness, what's going on? And it just crushed her. That was really so difficult to deal with.
And who knows, right?
Yeah.
Maybe
who
she
knows?
Did.
Yeah. How is the environment in where we live, right? In Appleton, Oshkosh, Green Bay, do we know what we're doing? Do we have the facilities? You talked about the memory care. I know there's a couple of places right down the road here. How's the community doing in Northeast Wisconsin?
Rhonda was in West Bend, and I can speak for Washington. Washington County was, I never had a bad experience in any of the places she was at.
Wow.
And what I've learned from the city of Green Bay, for example, just traveling and talking to people, it seems wonderful. There are places to go, but the doctor knows more about
there are a number of memory care facilities in this area. And one of the challenges I see is, again, it's one of the most complex areas of healthcare settings that there are. Right, you have multiple individuals with cognitive decline, and it's very challenging to work with, as we've been talking about, day in and day out, and so getting people in there who are skilled and trained, I think that's one of the biggest things.
And keeping them.
I went into one of the memory care facilities. I met a very nice young woman. She had just graduated from high school. This was her first job, essentially, out of high school. She was gone in 2 months.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
So, I mean, I think bumping up compensation, bumping up training, these are really complex jobs, really.
I feel bad for people who might live like in Rhineland or in the sticks a little bit, because they may not have the places we have here, and yet you kind of want to visit a lot. And so I think we have a lot of work to do, but a really good point though with the training. We have to pay more, but I hate to say it's a big industry, but it is a big industry, and we need to get more people interested in doing this kind of work.
But I think awareness again becomes important. I go to a lot of doctor's appointments now, and just even within our healthcare system, again, raising awareness in terms of how you communicate and how you talk to patients with dementia as they come into their appointments. Sometimes I see the healthcare individuals are so focused on tasks that they sometimes don't slow down and really try to communicate effectively with people.
Dr. David, I wanted to ask you, my father had it, right? Grandparents had it. So I'm pretty much feeling this will be my outcome, okay? And I've noticed little things about my life. I've always been somebody who likes routine just because then I don't have to worry about where I put my keys. They're always going to be there. Okay. I'm worried about it, and I can't seem to get my healthcare provider to check me out. You're too young. Well, I'm in my mid-50s. I want to be prepared for this. How can I get my medical providers to care about something that's important to me when we're talking about Alzheimer's?
Let me just say one thing. I didn't know Todd was that old.
You didn't know I was mid-50s?
No!
No.
I thought you were in your 40s. Well, I thought you were like 46.
He's very, very private. We don't even know where he lives.
Yeah. Well, there's a reason for that.
But what about that? What if you feel like I'm not right and your doctor's like, oh, come on, you're young. Don't worry about that.
Well, I think it's just to keep pressing. I mean, you do have to advocate for yourself. Yeah. And I think there does get to a point. If you brought up the conversation, not that I'm a big proponent of hopping to different healthcare providers, but I mean, I think I have seen some healthcare providers that aren't as in tune to what's going on. I mean,
sure.
They have to stay up. And, if you start noticing some significant changes, the screening tests are pretty, there are some screening tests.
Yep.
At least have them done if you don't. And if you're really concerned, I helped an individual the other day. They got the full neuropsych testing. There were some concerns on the screening test and went for full.
So a person could do that? I would do this.
You need a referral. I mean, you need a referral from a physician.
Right.
Because you imagine there aren't that many neuropsychologists in the Green Bay area.
And so but then you do have a baseline. Because if he goes back in 2 years, 3 years, it's the same thing. You're fine. But, the doctor, that's what he knows, right? So I think...
Exactly. You start to, you get a baseline, and then you can start to see if you start some noticing some changes that you can get tested.
I know some NFL circles, that's kind of a thing now with concussions.
Oh, yeah.
Is they'll have that first test, and then down the road, same test type of thing to see, recognize if there's been damage done. I mean, that's the big thing right now, right?
Yeah. Those baselines can be really important, especially with a strong family history.
Is it?
And we're going to expand. There's some genetic testing that.
That's what I was just going to ask.
Yep. There's some genetic testing that.
What have you found so far? As far as is it passed on?
There is a genetic link for some families. There's some abnormal genes which change the way some of these proteins are handled in the brain.
Okay.
And so there are increased risks for some genetic profiles for folks.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. Well, God bless you guys for fighting this fight.
We all need to get in. Behind this, and I know money goes to research, and that's the cure, right? I mean, everybody's like, well, where's the money going? That's just the way this country works. We spend a tremendous amount of money on research, but boy, when we find the outcome, it can change the world. You have a couple events coming up. I just want to talk about that.
Yep.
So if people want to attend that, and maybe Doc or one of you on the June 25th, the whole kickoff, because the big thing that in this community and a lot of communities, I'm sure, is that Alzheimer's walk. That's unbelievable how many people come
out
for that.
They do a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Carrie does a wonderful job.
She does.
In this area. And June 25th at Higmeister Park, is that what you said?
Right here. It's right behind us.
There it is.
Stumbling distance.
It's literally 50 feet away from us.
It's the kickoff event. It's kind of the beginning of the walk. Everybody's invited. Of course, it's free. And if you're interested, I encourage you to come and just be part of that. Learn some things.
Put your teams together.
That's right. But and eventually the walk is being held on the 27th of September.
Mm-hmm.
Form a team, sponsor a team, have your employer form a team, raise money. It's a great day. They really do wonderful work. The Alzheimer's Association does.
Great speakers. Yeah, that's a good event. And it's nice to get support from people you didn't know and you meet them there. It's like, wow, that's okay.
We've made a commitment right here, Todd, myself, Jim. We've made a commitment to.
Yeah, we're all in.
We're all in.
Awesome.
You bet.
Great.
Thanks, guys.
Great stuff. Great having you
both
here. And every time you guys speak, every time we get that on the air, I think we're helping people because of you people.
Absolutely.
So thank you all so much.
Thank
you. Back after this.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hi, I'm Kristen Ambos, Wisconsin's number one female loan officer for residential mortgages. Every loan is unique, and I'm committed to your financial well-being. Let's chat today at 920-606-1156 and check out my podcast, Always On Point.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Power Boat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. the action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Located on the Menominee River, you'll be seated up close so you can witness all of the high-adrenaline drama. The races are free and perfect for the entire family. Racing will be fierce with up to 100 powerboats and 18 heats a day. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the entire day. It's Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races, June 7th and 8th. Free for the whole family. You won't want to miss this awesome event. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page or contact the Marinette Welcome Center at 715-732-4333.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. Mind on the Mayor here on a good-looking Wednesday morning. 58 in Green Bay, 61 in Appleton now. Oshkosh, 58. Partly cloudy with showers, high in the upper 60s today. But a beautiful forecast heading into this weekend for the Dino Pitchka softball tournament to the town of Casco. That one's coming up. And, man, two great gentlemen we just had right there, Dr. David Ferguson and Rob Sutherland. Talk about ALS Awareness Days, Awareness Month, I should say, and the walk they've got coming up. And we've all committed, because it's all affected our families here, that we're going to be backing that as much as possible. Brewers in action again today against the Red Sox, 11:35 right here on WISS. Brewers coming off that huge win last night. Christian Yelich with a grand slam walk-off. That was really, really cool.
We should play that again before the day's out. I mean, you know,
could do that again,
7:30 or something.
If anybody didn't hear it.
Or 8:30, I mean. 7:30.
Yeah, it was cool. It was really cool. I like Yelich a lot.
Yeah. Pretty cool day so far, because you look at, you know, we haven't, how important both these things are, right? Raising funds, giving out scholarships to kids that, different needs, right? All the way from here to Milwaukee, privately funded. And then you got these, Dr. Ferguson and, of course, Mr. Sutherland, just bringing awareness. You know, there hasn't been a politician in here. I mean, that what really makes this community work are the people behind the scenes.
No question.
It's.
I don't think you were here the day we had the governor, were you?
No, I wasn't.
You would have loved this guy. That was like the wrong day for you to not be here, because you and him would have hit it off. Great, great guy.
Oh, my gosh. He was awesome.
He was awesome.
Yeah. And that book, by the way. He wrote the book about his wife.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's just so honest and true.
Yeah.
Just this is the way it is.
Yeah.
So. I've got the audio from Yelich. You want that again?
Yes, please.
Okay, here we go. This is a highlight last night.
Hang on a second. Wrong button.
Oh, boy.
One day you guys will get a good producer, right?
I was
going to
say,
it's so hard.
Yeah, it is tough.
Man. Yeah, many times.
Double last inning off of Aroldis Chapman was rolled over the third base bag. Pitch to him.
Fly ball deep right. It's going to win the game. Abreu's going back and watching it sail. It's a grand slam. Oh, my goodness, Christian Yelich. He walks it off in grand fashion. The Brewers win it 5-1 in the 10th. How do you do? And the comeback ended with a yelly bomb.
How cool is that?
Man, sit there, 10 innings, yeah. come on.
Yeah.
To end that way?
Yeah. That was cool.
Worth every penny.
That was absolutely so cool.
Yeah.
Glad to hear that. John Kramer, Green Bay Press Times will be coming in with all the great things they've got going, including the Packer Titletown area. Bryce Kane coming up at 8:35. Bryce is the young man, the young entrepreneur.
This guy's awesome.
Who I can't wait for you to talk more with him about, okay, what's your business plan? What's your whatever?
I went to see him.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's it kid's going to do very, very well. Treats customers right. He's scheduled. You know, it's not like he reacts. You know, he kind of has a plan.
His whole story is pretty amazing. Cancer survivor and getting into this at such a young age. That was fun talking to him.
He's in his own place, and he's very confident. He's going to do great. He's going to do just fine.
I was thinking about bringing my Kia there to get it detailed.
You should.
I would.
Why would you spend money detailing a Kia?
Hey, some of those cars are really nice.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Just because you have oil problems doesn't matter.
Listen, I guess it's not a BMW, so why would you bother?
I guess they're not taking a BMW to the homeless shelter.
Oh, I know.
Right?
That was
one of the funniest lines you ever had. I was feeling comfortable pulling up in my BMW and people are waiting to get a free meal.
There's a long line of people, but that's where the parking lot is. I got to find a different place. But whatever. I think my heart's in it.
Yeah, don't maybe humble yourself and get a less, you know, extravagant car. Find a different place to hide it.
Yeah, that's his whole thing. And he did. And the next time he parked on the dumpsters.
I did.
True story.
We're going to park over here.
Everything you needed to know about Jim Schmidt.
Yeah.
No, I, whatever. I just, okay.
I got to say one more time. We're talking about the burgers thing. And the different burger places like that. And we're talking about the little Frog Station. I still think a place like that around Door County for the Chicago people and all the people, someplace old and really, they would love that.
Yeah, man. And make it look old, too.
Yes.
Keep
it original. Keep the floor slanted.
Yep.
Those are the kind of places people look for nowadays.
There'll be a line.
The dive bar thing has become such a thing.
Yeah.
I think there's some money to be made at Frog Station. I really and truly do. And it's right there heading into the heart of Door County. Yeah.
That building has foundation problems.
You
realize how many burgers you're going to have to sell to fix that foundation?
You wouldn't even have to fix the foundation. Leave it as it is.
You will not get an occupancy permit then, John. We're going to sell them with the back door.
All permits are so overrated.
Okay. All right. I just spent my life working on it. Okay, you go right ahead.
I'm just throwing
I'm
it
not
up.
Investing. I'll tell you that. I'll buy a burger from you, though.
I still have my heart set on Frog Station.
You talked about that when we first started a couple years ago. It's still for sale?
I think it's like abandoned. I think it's just kind of there.
Oh, so you can get it for the back taxes?
I think so.
I'll look at it, I guess.
You can live upstairs? I would live upstairs.
How far is that from here?
About 45 miles.
That's too far. You're not going to drive here. You would commute from there?
Yeah.
I don't know. Todd?
I don't know.
I'll
45
look at it.
Isn't bad.
No!
I mean,
no,
I you do, it, you do it every day. Yeah. I do 55.
Yeah. Right.
I agree with you on people look, you know.
And they'd be all over their Snapchats. Oh, look where we are, the dive bar, whatever. Look at the floor slanted.
But, you know, the chains are the chains, but people will go out of their way to find something
like that.
Right,
for those kind of places. I'd have the best burgers around. I'd have some lady that's like 84 cooking the onion rings.
Right.
She'd call everybody hun.
Right.
She'd make an unbelievable old-fashioned where she'd mullet.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it could work.
Okay. Thank you. Get my man cheese curd Nick.
Oh yeah,
fried cheese curds.
But don't offer too much. You know what I mean? Like don't have a plethora of stuff. Just have a focus on good point. You know, like
five or six sandwiches, a couple of sides.
Yes. That guy when you go down to Georgia Tech, there's that guy who just sells those Cuban sandwiches. You just stand in line, and that's all he's got. Really, is you know maybe a couple things you can change.
Where do you find a Georgia or you're down talking the state of Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Atlanta. Because I forget where I was. Cuban sandwiches are awesome.
Oh, yeah. This guy, it's just
you can't get them around here, can you?
No, not like that. No. But anyway, he just stuck to one product. And I'm telling you, there's a line out the door.
I'm doing this. Pasties on Tuesdays. Could he?
He's right going off the business plan right away.
He'll go on by a shipload of Swanson pies.
Right. Little,
that's what he'll call a pasty.
We'll have push-ups. Remember talking about push-ups?
We'll have that.
That could work.
Back at this.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. SpaceX launching another Starship rocket, but it spun out of control and broke apart, falling back to Earth shortly after liftoff. President Trump set to pardon reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley, who were sentenced to years in prison for defrauding banks out of tens of millions of dollars. A big change to CDC guidelines created during the pandemic. ABC senior Washington correspondent Rachel Scott with more.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a noted vaccine skeptic, announced on social media that the CDC will no longer be recommending COVID-19 vaccines for healthy children or healthy pregnant women. Now, this catching doctors off guard because it did bypass the traditional CDC process that includes an independent review and also consulting with medical professionals.
Macy's department stores and says profits slipped in the first quarter and says more customers are cautious about the trade war. This is ABC News.